You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast, and this voice might be unfamiliar for the first time in 2019. Yes, it's me, Adam Friedman, back on the Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, I'm a staff editor at IndyCornrows.com, and since it is Monday, and it is the new year for me at least, well, I guess it's our first Monday show of the year, because last Monday was
our first weekly show of the year at all.
Yeah, well, it would be the first Monday show of the year, too, because the 31st was last Monday. Joining me in that lovely voice on the other line you hear is Mr. Tony East. Tony, you had a week by yourself. What was your, well, you can tell me. Tell the audience your most embarrassing moment of last week.
Doing the whole podcast with Steph No and realizing my mic was just sitting next to my laptop, not plugged in, was pretty awful.
Yeah, well,
I have a charger in my living room where my TV that I watch is, and in my room to do these, and I brought it back in to record, and I just didn't plug it in.
It's all right. You took over the mantle for the full week. I'm thankful for that, obviously. It's nice having a week off. So I don't know. I'm not going to rag on you too hard for that, just kind of idiotic. But it's more funny than idiotic. Like, I was just laughing when he told me before the show.
I was so mad.
It's like one of those, like, you probably, even if you don't say mid-podcast, you're just like, fuck.
I know.
Just look at it, kind of curse yourself, but not like I'm angry. Just like,
we're getting the bleeper out for this show, aren't we?
Oh, well, it's a new year, I guess we can
New year, new Adam, guys. He's feisty, you know.
So, speaking of feisty, let's start with the Pacers' kind of poor performance against the Toronto Raptors. They lost 121 to 105. We're recording this podcast about 10 minutes after the game ended. A 16-point loss to the best team in the East usually isn't, or maybe the best team in the NBA record-wise, at least right now, isn't necessarily a bad thing, except when they don't have their best player. It's a little bit embarrassing, especially since they're on a back-to-back as well. Like, you expect there to be more fight from the Pacers. They got it, tied at like 72 or 74 one point, and then it was all
72-72 was right after halftime. They looked really good for like a hot second, and then nothing.
Yeah, their usual third quarter kind of punch back where they get back in the game, then it's when they close it out at the end of the game. And they just, I don't know. The key stat people talk about is the three-point shooting, where Raptors shot 17 of 33 for 51.5%, and the Pacers shot 4 of 17 for 23%, shooting half the percent and taking half the amount of total threes. That's the difference in the game.
The big thing there, besides the Raptors just making every dang thing the entire game, is the Pacers having as many attempts as the Raptors had makes. Like, it's going to be so hard to make up that deficit somewhere else in terms of scoring, especially when the Raptors, I believe, had fewer turnovers, and it was the same, basically. So you can't win that way. And it's not like, you know, the Raptors did a good job manufacturing these open looks. I don't think the Pacers did something wrong with their shot selection. It's just the Raptors got a ton of open looks.
Well, and what's also kind of odd is the Pacers really, they like hit this just cold spell, because I believe some point in the mid-third quarter, Chris and Aaron on the broadcast, the Pacers were shooting 57% and 56% from the field. And then they finished the game shooting 45. I mean, they just, even if you're trading 3-for-2s, they hit such like a cold streak that I don't know if it would have made a difference. I mean, we've been talking about this all year of you can't trade 2-for-3s kind of thing, and yet they've seemed to prevail without it. So because they shoot as a high percentage on some mid-range 2s, but I don't know. This is one of those games where like walking this early in the year just makes you really depressed, because it's like this is the best team and the best kind of level of team at this level plays, and they're just not, you know. When it comes to playoff time, I'm not sure they're quite on this, like, that kind of level of, like, they can be with the best.
The Pacers didn't have their best defensive player in this game. Like, we have
Kawhi didn't play, so that's also
confusing. But Pacers manufacture a lot of their points from getting stops. When it's harder to get their stops, it's going to be harder for them to score as much as they usually do. Like, I don't think that Turner has a bigger impact on the Pacers than Kawhi has on the Raptors, but in the context of this game where the Raptors already are making every shot, I think in this specific instance, Turner would have been more important.
Yeah, this is the perfect game, too, if you've been arguing that Turner's better than Sabonis. The perimeter defense of Sabonis was pretty garbage in this game, I have to say.
Yeah, not Sabonis' best game. I don't know if this is like the right way to phrase this question, but like, is he just better as like this sixth man energy guy who can just battering ram and be amazing off the bench, or you know, did he just have a rough game playing all these minutes?
I feel like Sabonis, in my kind of fits into the Gobert category, where like there's 25 teams where if he's on the court, he can be really effective. But there's five specific teams who move the ball without take a ton of threes that he is just a complete negative on.
Yeah, that is fair. That is very fair.
Like what's frustrating is those five teams are the five best teams. So you're talking about Toronto, you're talking about Milwaukee, and you're talking about like the Warriors, probably the Nuggets and the Houston. Like those are the five teams that can that maybe a guy like Gobert can't be on the court for. Kind of thing for Sabonis where he just can get run off the court because they basically the Raptors play. I mean, when they have Kawhi, they basically play like Ibaka at the center spot, and he's basically just a stretch four playing center. It's kind of like reminds me of like Chris Bosh kind of being in that role back in the day. And so you can't. Sabonis is not a great perimeter defender, so you can kind of just run him off the floor if you're making enough 3-point shots.
Yeah, Ibaka and Siakam. That's hard to say. Ibaka and Siakam were just eating alive everybody. Thad played okay on offense, but they could not stop Ibaka, especially. He was hitting everything. 18 points. Did he lead their team? No, Norman Powell did, but who the hell saw that coming? But yeah, Serge Ibaka was their second leading scorer. They couldn't stop him. And Greg Monroe was doing some good stuff off the bench. He was scooping up a bunch of rebounds. Like, I just feel like neither of him or Thad, or even Kyle Quinn, who did not play well at all, played a good game, and that did not help Sabonis either.
Yeah. Quinn wasn't worse than, like, Al Jefferson would have been, but in the comments, he wasn't any good. He hasn't played in – I mean, I can't remember the last time he played a significant amount of minutes. It had to be back in like October, right?
When did Turner miss time before, right?
That's right. That was that. But they lost that game too, I guess, against Charlotte.
Sabonis missed that game in Orlando with the shrimp. That was probably that Quinn played in that game too. With the shrimp.
So he's probably played what, four games significant minutes this whole year, five tops?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just not good. It's not fun to watch him out there.
I don't think he's not good.
I think he's rusty and he doesn't play enough. And the problem is too, if it was the flip of Sabonis and Turner, so if Sabonis is hurt and Turner was healthy, O'Quinn would be fine because it's like a different kind of play. Like O'Quinn replaces Sabonis like at a better rate than he can replace Turner, I guess the way to put it. Because he can't do anything that Turner can do, but he can do some of what Sabonis can do.
Yeah, that makes sense. And they can't. You can get away with Turner Sabonis together for a little bit every game to like win a few sneaky minutes with this giant group. But O'Quinn Sabonis would never work.
Well, and Turner's defensive. I mean,
this year has been amazing.
It's clear just his how much he anchors the D. I guess in a sense, like we used to think kind of Oladipo and Young did, but I think that the defense is a lot of Turner anchoring it and really kind of. Really just being like this guy where nobody can get in the rim, where you can, when you get beat, you can drop back onto the three-point guy at times. So you don't get caught in this like quick kick around all the time. And you can run guys off three-point lines and run them into Turner. Just, he is really the anchor of the D, and that became pretty obvious in this game.
Yes, it did.
And yes, I guess it also seems they have to play the Raptors twice on the road to start. Do they play them four times this year?
I have their schedule in front of me, but I would have to scroll down quite far to figure out that.
All right, I'll
just wait. I could have a big thing here if they only play them one more time.
Well, let me do a quick search on the old ESPN Command F.
Good old Control F could help me here. I believe they only play one more time. Oh, man. Good content here from Locked On Pacers as we sit
here. Really good.
And then scan the schedule up and
they
down.
They play three times. They play one more time in three weeks.
Adam, they have officially conceded the tiebreaker to the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, that's not fair. They play twice in Toronto and once on a back-to-back. That's not fair.
Yes, I agree.
That's bad scheduling, man.
Yes, it's not great.
But yeah, I mean, I guess my point as a broad stroke still stands that I think – I'm not sure this team can compete with the best other four best teams in the East. I guess it still concerns me. This game is just kind of concerns me again. I guess we'll see probably on the 23rd full strength from both teams, hopefully, and get a better view.
That would be better. Yeah, I wanted to
home.
Also, you saw in this game how impactful Kyle Lowry is. He was awesome.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was so good. I mean, it like you can't tell when you look at his stat line, but you can just like see the juice he puts in the Raptors when he's in the game.
Yeah. But you can also see that why the Raptors are so good because they're 2-9 are as good as the Pacers probably.
That's what I would talk when other people ask me how the Pacers are so good. I always say it's because A, they fit really well together, and B, they just don't have a negative player in the rotation. Well, the Raptors are like that plus a little bit because they have Kawhi Leonard and they have also 9 good rotation players.
Right. Well, they have Pacers have 8, right? You would say good rotation players, give or take.
I'd say 9.
You're counting Evans?
Yeah. I am counting Tyreke Evans. He's a good defensive
player. The Raptors have 10, though, right? They can go 10 deep.
They went 9 this game, but yeah, usually when they have Kawhi, they go 10. You're right.
Well, did they play Monroe if Kawhi's healthy?
Normally they have Valanciunas.
Well, he's been hurt all. Hasn't been hurt for like 3 weeks now, or 4. Isn't he out? Yeah,
he's normally guy numero 10.
But isn't he hurt? Isn't he out the rest of the season?
No, like 2 more.
What did he do? I thought he was out the rest of the season.
No, he's not. I remember 3 to 6 weeks was his timeline. I thought
he had wrist surgery and ended it.
I know it was 6 weeks was the maximum end of it.
But I mean, I guess the problem with the Pacers, right? They're of a full strength top five East teams, they basically beat Boston once and split with Milwaukee. They lost to Philly when they were at full strength at home, but they went and beat Philadelphia without Jimmy Butler, which is a good win still. But they lost Toronto twice now.
Didn't Vic not play in game number 2? Oh, that was his first, like, second game back or something. That's right. Never mind.
What, against?
Against Philly in Philly.
Yeah, he was there. He played.
Second game back. Yep.
Yeah. It gets me back to this point where I'm still concerned that this team isn't a top three seed, which they actually are kind of looking like they're heading that way. So they probably aren't going to win a first round series.
I don't know if I'd jump that far from this game. I just think they didn't have Miles and they needed him really badly.
I don't know. You have to think they should have put up a better effort against a Kawhi-less.
Yeah, the Raptors shot the lights out, like 60-something percent true shooting. They only missed one free throw. They were over 50% from three. Like,
yeah, but I feel like that was like it was just them continuing that fourth quarter last time they played the Pacers, right?
Well, that was awful. That was just the worst quarter ever.
Right? I mean,
second worst quarter of the season.
But if it happens twice, it starts to be a pattern, right? Once is a
fluke. Two quarters out of the whole season? No.
No, but it happened for three quarters this game, let's say, give or take, and I hope in a quarter or two last game.
Any quarter nearly as bad as that fourth quarter the first time they played tonight.
Not offensively, but Raptors scoring-wise, yeah, their quarters were just as good as that fourth quarter.
The worst differential in any quarter of this game was only 5. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I'm talking about Raptors offensively, though, that three-point shooting where they just like feel like they can't miss, that has happened now for 5 quarters, give or take, against the Pacers.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even feel like they shot that well in that fourth quarter they won. The Pacers just only scored 11 points.
But, I felt like they were shooting really well, too. I
guess they broke right at the end. When Fred VanVleet finally hit that one, I remember it broke open.
Yeah, and that's what this kind of worries me, is that these three-point shooting teams, they just keep – you know, Milwaukee, when they destroy the Pacers the same kind of way. And I feel like in a series, a 7-game series against any of the other four, I guess Philly might be the one exception. These teams are going to shoot like 43s, and you're going to have to beat that. I'm not sure they can. I guess that's why I'm concerned.
Yeah, I don't know that I don't think they're necessarily better than any of these teams, but I don't think it's such a jump that, like, this is how good the Raptors are kind of thing. Like, I think it can be closer than this.
I guess. I feel like the Raptors, though, are in a class just slightly above the Pacers, I guess. It feels like.
Yes, I can agree with that.
Like, I don't know if Milwaukee's there yet, but it feels like Toronto is just that notch above, and that's going to be enough probably in the playoffs.
They are very good.
Yeah, they are. Should we take a break and go positive real quick?
Yes, we should. That would be good.
All right, welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. So positive game of the week, or positiveness of the week, was we didn't talk about the Bulls game yet, Tony, and that was incredible.
It was so much fun. I don't know. Did you see my Twitter story about that game?
I did not. I have been on vacation and I've been minimally on Twitter.
I was writing grades and they were
up. Oh, no, I did see the story.
Yeah, they're up 102-96 and I was like, sweet, they'll win. And I wrote like half the article and then LaVine went crazy. And then I changed just that they won to they won in OT. And then Chris Dunn dunked. And then I was like, okay, I've jinxed it. And I changed it to that the Pacers lost and then they won. So weird ending.
Yeah, really weird ending. Oladipo, I mean, I don't know why the 28-foot three-point shot, but whatever, went in, right?
Unreal. He banked it in, dude. Like, that is crazy.
I feel like he's done that before. I'm trying to think when he did that, but I feel like he's done that before. But this was probably the first game where I felt like, besides the Boston game, this is where I felt like this is like the Oladipo we thought we had, I guess. I mean, he's been good this year. That's the right way to put it. But, like, this is the Oladipo where, like, this guy is the best player on the court at this moment.
Yeah, Ben Gibson just wrote about his clutch stats, and they're just insane.
They're amazing.
His net rating is so good. He's, like, really high up in totals for clutch stats, even though he's only played whatever games, and which is insane. Like, every single one of them, it just blows my mind.
No, so, he's made up for those two really bad games when he came injury that now he kind of like – this feels like this was kind of the game where I feel like he's back to kind of the pre injury Oladipo, where he's got his conditioning back, whatever, is all of it's kind of together finally.
Yeah, he is tied for 99th in clutch minutes, but he's sixth in points and first in field goal percentage, which percentage doesn't matter, but he's sixth in points besides being 99th in minutes. That's crazy.
That's insane. I mean,
that's so insane.
It becomes kind of this thing. Is it a fluke or is it just like, this is what he is, a player?
Well, we saw him do it last year, so I do not think it's a fluke at all.
I know. I don't think it's a fluke either. It's just so like, it makes you think that if you get in the playoffs, all you got to do is hang around in four games, you're going to win.
Yes. Yeah. If you're in it at the end of the game, you have a chance. We saw that last year against the Cavs.
No, we did. I mean,
LeBron is also very clutch.
Well, Victor Oladipo took the lead at game five until they robbed him of the goaltending call.
That's true.
Right? I mean, game four, he screwed up. He didn't play that great at the end. But game five, they weren't great. He wasn't great all game, but the final, whatever, 2 minutes, he was fantastic. And honestly, they should have won the game if they don't call goaltending.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron at the three.
Yeah, anyway. But if he gets that two, maybe they go for a two instead of a three.
Yeah, no, you can never know.
But, man, that 2-point shot should have counted.
That was so close live. It was so hard to tell.
Yeah, but you looked at the replay like five times.
It's so dumb they can't change that.
Yes, it's really dumb.
It's so dumb they can only change it if they call it. Wait, I don't remember how that works. I don't think they can change it at all.
Yeah, I don't think they can change the call.
But anyway, yeah, he was awesome in this Bulls game.
Yeah.
Even beyond just the clutch moments, like 36 points and 7 rebounds and 4 assists, like just completely carrying the team.
Well, he had 22 against the Hawks, too. It's kind of been a good week for him, I would say.
Yes, finally. I mean, this Raptors game was not a shining moment for him. But
no, but overall.
The rest of the week was nice.
Yeah. I think he's had a pretty solid week. I give it to him.
I will too. Yeah, this whole Bulls game, like a lot of players played good games. Thad was sensational. Bojan was really good. Putting the ball in the rim. Domas was obviously amazing. Having to sub in for Turner, it was very good to see.
Yeah. The one other point actually I wanted to make was if Oladipo, and this didn't happen in the game before, but Oladipo kind of like overtook this game in terms of shots at like 28, but it felt like one of these kind of last year games, or he probably did the same thing in that 98-96 win against the Bulls last season, where like, is he starting to suffocate Turner's role again, I guess. And I don't, part of it is Turner because he keeps getting weirdly injured for randomly like weird things. Like the amount of weird injury Turner's had over the last 5 years. I mean, he gets hit in the face and breaks his nose, which is, I guess, common in basketball. Concussion, elbow injuries, like these rare things. Is there any concern this is going to start to kind of, he's going to start taking back, you know, almost his shots from Turner in a sense?
I don't think so. Turner just didn't get a lot of shots against the Bulls because of the fouls. He had too early and he pulled them right away. That's what
I agree with you. The game reminded me very much of like one of the early season or last season Turner games where like he takes like 6 shots and it's like, what? I mean, he's still good at defensively, but it's like, oh, it's just Vic's team kind of thing. And for a while, I felt like, oh, it's kind of becoming like Turner. Like Turner was having a moment there and he had a really good game against the Hawks. So
if the only trade off for Turner shots is just Vic shots, then I'm completely fine with
that. I know, but it really felt like hopefully the shoulder thing isn't too bad, but like it felt like we were having kind of a moment with Turner where he's like kind of rising into like somebody who is.
We did have the moment.
I know, and we wanted to continue.
We saw the recipe for how he's good, and then he broke his nose. And like another point that Ben wrote about, like even if, you know, this shouldn't actually affect his play that much, like he went through a whole week of practice without having anyone touch his face. So the second he has contact, like it's going to be different. So that game had to be unique for him. And now he's got the shoulder injury. So we don't really know what he's going to. I feel like we still don't really know what he's going to be going forward yet.
I know. And it was kind of my big point last year was like, if Turner could just play a consistent 30 or 40 games, he might get good. He just kept getting hurt, like playing 20 games and hurt, 20 games and hurt. Last year it was 2 and hurt for 15, then it was 20 more and got hurt. And so like we saw him play like 40 straight games, or not 40, sorry, like 30 straight games, 35 straight games, and he missed one, but pretty much 35, 36 games or something like that, right?
Yeah.
This year, something like that. And then he got hurt, and is it going to set him back again is what I'm concerned about, I guess. And it's annoying because like he was pushing towards like the true number 2 on this team, like, might have garnered some all-star votes if he continued that streak he was on.
Yeah, but I mean, even the non-December Turner is still a good player. It's not an all-star.
Yeah, no, but like, he was leaning towards like,
yeah,
should this guy be the 12th guy on the all-star team? Is this guy maybe a defensive player of the year candidate kind of level?
Right.
And not that he's not going to be good offensively still, but like, it's like, oh, now is he going to have like a setback and it's going to take him until like mid-March to get kind of back to that level again. I'm concerned, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't want to speculate. I think they have figured something out with him, the team has, and I hope they continue to do that. But
Tony, it's a podcast. You're supposed to speculate.
I'm not good at that.
I'm going to speculate for you. I'm just saying people should look out for this sort of like regression from Turner just because of the injuries and like, you know, I think a big part of Turner is his being able to practice and watch film and kind of work his butt off the court that helps lead to better on the court results. I mean, that's part of his whole workout thing this summer. And with him having less time off the court to work on his game, we saw Oladipo too when he was hurt. Like it took him, I don't know, 5-7 games to get back into game shape. Like Oladipo is one of those guys where everything he does off the court really improves his on the court game. And a lot of NBA players this way too. So, I mean, that's not really fair. But like, I wonder if we'll see a little bit of a regression for a little while until he gets kind of back into his game or consistently game flow, like routine, I guess.
I hope not. I really hope not.
No, I hope not too. Cause like I said, he was having a moment, man. He was like, he had like five solid weeks of basketball.
People said they saw him wincing in the Bulls game. I must have missed that. I want to go find that.
Oh, his shoulder injury? I don't know when that happened.
Yeah, people were telling me like third quarter. So I might go rewatch that and see if I can find it.
He had a three though in overtime.
He did. Drilled it. Perfect shot.
Yeah. I mean, he had like five straight weeks of like, this is the Turner we all dreamed he could be.
That was a sick shot.
Yeah, I mean that 3-point shot, like that's the guy Turner is. Like he can stretch the floor in a big moment and he can get the kind of when he's a perfect pick and pop man or pick and roll man because he can do so much things.
Yeah, he's up to 39% from three this year now. Do you know that?
No, I didn't realize that.
39.1% now on the year.
I mean, what's his? So you have his B-ball ref page up?
I do.
What's his? Can you do like his whole December till the most recent game stats?
Do you like splits? Yeah.
Just do like his December till now. A little, I don't know. You know how to do it.
December till now. I'm just gonna do the month of December.
No, do it. Add
include the Bulls game. You're right. I should include that Bulls game. That would be smart. I know how to do that, and I will do that. All right, December 1st through Indy at Chicago. We got 52.6% from three. Insane.
15.2 points per game and 9 rebounds.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You are correct. That's
8.9 rebounds. I rounded up.
Three blocks.
I mean, this is like the Turner we all dreamed of when we were like, oh, this guy's going to be like the next great NBA, the next really good NBA player.
8.9 is the only number you're not allowed to round.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
This is a Pacers show.
I just round everything's at a 9 I round up.
No, you're right. I do that
half too. The time it's like 8.99 or 8.94, I guess, because right, they round up at 5, I assume, when B-ball ref.
That's crazy. A month plus of 52.6% 3-point shooting.
16 games, about half the season.
That's great.
What? Right, a little less than half. 16 games in a row. 16 straight games where he shot.
Did you just say half the season?
So far. Half the season so far.
Oh. I'm dumb.
Like half this. It's a little less. They played 38 to 19.
I'm doing 16 over 82. I'm like, Adam.
No, half their season so far.
Ooh, I don't know if I agree with that one. Oh, that scared me for a moment. Yeah, his December splits are just wild. And his January splits are good, too, because in the only game, he made both of his threes, which is great.
Yeah, I guess we'll see how long he plays. That will be important for this week, though, if he can come back.
That would be great.
So let's take a quick break and then we'll talk about this week's games. All right, Tony. So the Pacers have three games this week. They play another dreaded back-to-back with the Cavs in the first night of it.
Well, yeah. I don't want to talk about that last Cavs game.
That was ridiculous.
It's so deflating that is your only bad loss of the year.
Well, it was so deflating that when you watch the replay and Larry Nance just goes up, just literally just shoves a little deep ball.
Oh, man.
And you're like... Like, because like in real time you don't see it because the camera angle is different, and you're thinking like, how the hell did he get wide open for that? Like, it reminded me of the dunk by Willie Cauley Stein. But that play, there was no bad play. It was just Turner.
Wow, yeah, he just committed to the shot instead of the man.
Yeah, exactly. But this one was like Oladipo was there for the rebound, and Nance just like, well, they're gonna call it or not. Screw it. He threw him over.
That's so dumb. That is so frustrating.
It's so frustrating. It's not.
And the Cavs are bad, is my take on the Cavs. Like historically bad. So losing that game is just pathetic.
Yeah, and last year they beat the Cavs, who were like had the best player in the league 3 or 4 times.
Yes. I don't. It's so such a 91 point is just so awful.
Yes, it is.
The Cavs now.
Awful. I don't know what to say. It was awful.
I know.
You want to read House Troy better? Read me the ratings.
This will make you feel better. They're 25th in offense, last in defense, and 29th in pace. Their expected win loss is 8-32, and they lost 31 games all of last year.
So yeah, they're 8-32 right now.
Yep.
They have third highest in the NBA, though.
They have lost their games this week, this week that just happened, by 25, 26, and 25.
You look at their BWOL ref page and
35. My God, they got wrecked this week.
You just see long lines of red.
They got destroyed this week. Oh my gosh, that is awful.
And then you see the little bit blimp where they beat the Pacers by 1 point.
Beat the Pacers by 1 point.
That was a frustrating game, but what it is.
My gosh.
All right.
So the Cavs stink. Kevin Love won't be back yet, so they'll still stink. But now they have Tristan Thompson, who's kind of a threat to the Pacers.
So Delly has listed as day-to-day as of Saturday. Same with Rodney Hood. Kevin Love obviously out. So is David. How do you say his last name?
Nwaba.
All right. He's all three listed as day-to-day, didn't play on Saturday.
They have 6 guys on the injury report.
Henson's out, obviously, and so is Love.
Yeah, that's not good. They just signed Cameron Payne on a 10-day contract because they have so many guard injuries. And Cameron Payne is horrible. I need to put a caveat because I say this stuff a lot, and this dude on Twitter just got mad about it. When we say horrible or bad, it's in relation to other NBA players, not.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Cameron Payne could be either of us or
anyone. I feel like that's obvious to us, but apparently it's not.
I understand that. Now, whoever tweeted that, you understand. I think everybody understands what you mean, Tony. Like, he's not one of the 450 best players in the world, but he's one of the 600 best.
Yes. NBA players in the world. And then the other, they just cut Nwaba, or not, I'm sorry. They just cut Patrick McCaw, who's like, okay. By the way, the Pacers should go after Patrick McCaw. They are just not good. And the fact that they won last time is a shame. The only good thing that they could have in this game, if all those guys that you just said are out, is Larry Nance.
Oh, freaking Larry Nance.
Like, Chetty Osman hasn't been what they thought he'd be. Tristan Thompson missed a bunch of time. I mean, he'll get a million rebounds against the Pacers, but that's literally all he does well. They're just not a good basketball team.
Nope, they're not yet. They beat the Pacers team on the road.
On the road.
They came into Pacers' life.
The Pacers shot under 40% that game. They were 4-22 from three. They were 13-21 from the free throw line. Literally everything went wrong. Like, everything. Yeah,
except the Cavs shot almost the exact same percentage, except they shot a little better from free throws.
Turner had 12-10, and Sabonis had 17-8, and everyone else stunk. Everybody.
Yeah, and Oladipo had plenty of full times to at least give it a 2-point lead, which would have at least sent to overtime.
Yes, it would have been a 3-point lead. He missed both.
Well, he had plenty of shots to make it a 2-point game, which would have been, at least on the Larry Nance, it would have sucked, but it would have not been a game winner. So then he would have been like, we have a shot still in overtime.
Long fart noise is my reaction.
I guess my thought is it's probably be a good idea to sit Turner out in this game, right?
Yeah, if you can get away with it. If he's like perfectly healthy, then let him play.
But I'm assuming he's not. I'm assuming he's still. Let's say 80 or 90%, not 100.
Well, especially because it's a back-to-back. Yeah, you probably should.
Do you know that the timetable on him wearing that mask?
I don't.
I guess I'm trying to think last. I mean, usually if you break your nose and get it put together right away.
I guess you could say that nobody knows.
Ha ha ha. Usually it's it heals pretty fast. Like usually the bad thing about a broken nose is that when it doesn't, because my cousin broke his nose really badly, and if it sets, it like. He had a surgery to get it fixed years later, but if they put it back in right away, usually it like heals pretty quickly.
We've been doing this show for a year and a half, and you're just now telling me Miles Turner is your cousin?
No, not Miles Turner. My cousin Scott, shout out to him. Man, his nose was like, he played football, and his nose was like, I forget if it was completely to the right or left, but he got it fixed, and like, you see pictures of him, and like, oh my God, he looks completely different. It's crazy. He had to fix it out of high school, because that's playing football, but... that's beside the point. This is Dr. Friedman's corner right there. That was his little, that's my little 30 seconds on his broken nose.
Well, from last time they played to this time, the starters combined for 2 3-pointers. That's not going to happen again. Corey Joseph couldn't make anything. That's not going to happen again. They're not going to miss almost 40% of their free throws. Like, those normal corrections alone, they'll win. If you guys hear noises in the background, I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening in my kitchen, but it's kind of loud.
It also, I don't hear anything, so it'll be fine. It's also, they're also going to not overlook it like they did last time. You know, last time they were probably overlooking Toronto was one of those like trap games, you call them. I don't think they're going to let that happen again. I don't think the coaching staff, I think if I'm in a Millen and on the coach, I'm just showing videos of Larry Nance during a video game winning the game, like over on replay every day and say, we're really going to pretend we can't beat this Cavs team. We're really going to pretend we have to overlook this team before we play Boston. It's going to be a big game. You know, we need to beat this Cavs team. That's what
I wish someone made a meme of Blake Griffin showing that ref the iPad, and then the next screen is like an iPad with a replay of Nance throwing down Victor Oladipo.
Oh man, I never talked about that. Dang.
That'd be good.
That would have been good.
Yeah, the only butcher, we haven't done a butcher in forever. It's been a week. The only butcher is Nance. Like, the rest of this team is bad. So I mean, Alec Burks is an okay player, but I don't just.
Yeah, Hood's not going to play. So, oh, we might play. Hood had a game last time, though. I mean, he was 17.
Yeah, he had 17. You're right. He was all right. But Ant had 16 rebounds. Like, he just killed him.
I don't know. I think I'd like to see Sabonis start. I mean, obviously, turn him play because I think Sabonis might just, like, body up Lance and just Nance just because they're annoyed at him.
And pissed. I have no problem with that, if that is the case.
You know, like, Sabonis get a little bit, you know, he gets
Sabonis
a little bit.
Sabonis will throw him to the ground, like, 2 or 3 times.
Well, Sabonis has a way where he can beat you up without getting called for the foul, where like he can like use a little back down, he uses like upper body strength and throw his elbows by you and kind of not get called for any fouls, but still kind of lay a hit on you at least.
Right.
In a very fair and legal sense in the NBA.
Very, very fair. Very legal.
I guess on the Pacers side, I would hope Oladipo just kind of feels like, okay, I played like shit last time I played them. I need to score 30 points or I need to have, you know, a 20-10 game.
Right. Right. Like literally anyone could be my X factor. God, the Cavs stink so bad. I feel bad making all these very general comments.
I just think Oladipo is the best one just because.
Yeah, he played Bojan. They have no good wing defenders. I'll pick Bojan. If Chetty Osman has to play 40 minutes in regulation again, he'll be so tired by the end that Bojan will just drive right past him.
Did you see Bojan in what they played 39 games? I scored double digits in 37 of those games.
Yeah, he's been awesome this year.
Yeah, shout out to Bojan for most consistent pacer except – oh, no, sorry, 36 to 38 games. I'm wrong. That's 39 okay. games.
That's but, okay. You're forgiven.
For his inability to make a game-winning shot, Bojan has been fantastic.
When he missed the free throw at the end of the Bulls game, in my head, I was like, "Oh, Adam's pissed. Adam's doing
the clutch." I did. I went. I. You know what I say to Bojan? I call him. When I call him,
yeah, I knew he made the second. I was happy, but he missed the first. I was like, "Oh boy." And then Levine gets the three. Oh god.
It's the problem is I expect him to miss those shots, so it's like it's over. It's fine. Like. Oh, what was the Bulls game where they got the in an Oladipo and then we passed to him and like he thought about like tossing it in the air really high for a second.
Oh,
and
yeah. I almost
like, if you pass that ball and lose this game, I'm gonna find a way to drive to Chicago from my vacation in Florida and I'm just gonna come strangle you.
Thankfully they won that game.
Like he really thought about throwing that ball in the air, like a lob pass. He almost
what does it say about the Bulls that they tried to lose and they still won?
Well, they didn't try to lose. I mean, Levine hit a whole bunch of crazy shots.
Oh, he was insane. This says a lot about the Cavs that we're literally talking about something else. So,
The Bulls are just bad. The Cavs, and they don't want to beat the Pacers. So,
yeah, Pacers win this game by 11.
Yeah, I don't want to get too confident. They lost last time.
That's true. They're gonna that means they won't overlook them this time.
15, I guess.
If they blow them out, they can play their backups and then be ready for Boston too.
Yeah,
look at that segue. You're welcome.
Thank you for that segue. And this is probably the most important game of the week. The best team of the week.
Probably.
If they win this game.
Probably.
All right. Hold on. Well, hold on. Do they play Boston?
Oh, I like where your head's at here. I know exactly what you're about to say. I think they only play them one more time.
No, they play them twice. They play them twice. And so this game will not seal the tiebreaker if they win it. They were 2-0 in Boston last year, though. I know that. They won both games. Last year, Oladipo had 30 point games in both times.
He was awesome. last year. They had the one, the Kyrie dueling game. Actually, all of them feel like Kyrie dueling
games. So
Kyrie might not play, right? Isn't he hurt?
Yeah, Kyrie's been hurt for day to day.
But he had an eye injury. That's weird.
Man, can Kyrie play a full season? I don't know.
No.
Are we sure Kyrie can play more than 60 games a season?
Yes, he's done that every year but one, I believe.
I don't think that's true.
I think he has.
He didn't play. He played only 59 games last year, right? He played 60 on the dot last year. Oh, my gosh.
Take it. Shove it.
Well, 51, 59, 53, and three of his first five seasons.
You're right.
So about half a season, he played 60 or less games.
You are correct. I love Kyrie. I wish he was healthier all the time. Anywho, Marcus Morris, neck injury apparently, didn't play in their Mavs game. Aaron Baines has been out for a million years, which is big for them because now they're playing younger dudes at backup center. But they're still a very good team who has finally figured out after a very shaky start. They're up to 23-15. Their expected win-loss, though, is three games better than their record. So they've just blown some close games, including a Pacers one. And look at this, Adam. 10th in offense and 4th in defense. They're top 10 in both. They're a pretty good team.
Yeah, they are a pretty good team. They've had a weird three-point shooting kind of spell this season. They're shooting what? I'm trying to pull it up.
They're actually 6th in the league in three-point percentage now after starting off horribly.
But I don't remember the stat, but they're missing an unusual amount of open threes.
I would love to see that. That'd be interesting.
I forget where I saw the stat, and I was listening to it on the Bill Simmons podcast, and he was talking about it. And sometimes I don't know if he's being truthful or not, so it could be him lying to his audience that I bought that lie that they're missing.
But their biggest problem is they cannot get to the free throw line at all, like at all.
Okay.
They're 28 in free throw attempts per game.
That's a Kyrie problem of history, where Kyrie doesn't like to go to the free throw line unless he has to.
They have a lot of contact-averse good players, so that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean – that's probably the biggest knock on Kyrie as a player, right? Is he can't quite do what
the contact thing.
It's again with Bill Simmons' podcast that they're talking about. He just can't quite do what James Harden can do.
No, he can't. No one can right now, except for Steph.
No, but Kyrie has that offensive. I mean, he's as much of an offensive wizard as Harden is.
Right.
He doesn't quite put his body on the line the way Harden does. Harden doesn't build like a tank. Dude's like 6'7", God knows how many pounds.
Yeah, he is unbelievable. So the Celtics have blown out both teams they played this month. It was the Mavericks and the Timberwolves.
It's January 7th, Tony. So they haven't played a ton of games.
They're also – dang, the Pacers play the Cavs on the first night of a back-to-back and the Celtics on the first night of a back-to-back in their back-to-back. That was a mouthful. And then they play the Knicks, and the Knicks are on a first night of a back-to-back. Oh, never mind. That was wrong. Anyway, there's a lot of just like could be – with the Celtics, I always fear that because they just have a lot of guys that could be like – a good game. Tatum could go off. Kyrie, if he plays, could go off. Horford can do everything at a very high level. Hayward just had 30-something last week, so you got to worry about everybody. And Marcus Smart is only shooting well against the Pacers for his career. So,
oh yeah, but it's not in Indianapolis, so
that's true.
That's a huge positive. That's true. I would say Turner's a player's game. They're gonna have a shot at winning.
Yes.
You know, Tatum does not have a 30-point game this season.
No, his usage isn't even that high, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I mean he's having a good sophomore year, but he's not having to jump there. Yeah,
22% usage, which is still high, but it's not as high.
Right, he's had a good sophomore year, but he hasn't had the leap. Like he's still.
People overrate the sophomore leap though. Like if you have a good rookie year, it's so hard to have a huge jump into sophomore.
Yeah, but people thought he was. I mean, I guess we'll see him in his third year, but he went from he's shooting worse overall from the field. Yep. He's shooting worse from 3-point range. He's shooting slightly better free throw line, but I mean, he's getting more usage. Obviously, he's getting more shots than he was last year, I think.
Yeah, his usage rate's a little lower, I think. I could be wrong. I don't have it in front of me, both of yours. But
I do. It's up about 3%.
Ooh, that is interesting to me.
2.9%, I guess.
You're right. Wow, that is interesting to me. I thought it would not be the case. Anyway, he and Hayward and Horford and Kyrie, if he plays, and even Jaylen Brown, even though he's not a really good scorer, are all very good players.
Yeah, I think the Celtics, too, are one of those teams where I think they've had a harder schedule than you would think to start the year, and they're probably a nice little run of who the Pacers play in a couple weeks, like the Magic, the Bulls, the Knicks, like those kind of teams.
Yeah.
8 or 9 games in a row from being on like an 8 or 9 game win streak. Like the bottom of the East is really bad, and you commend the Pacers for beating up on them, but that's why they're 25-13 because they beat a lot of the really bad teams. I mean, they beat Milwaukee in that run. They beat Philadelphia, too, but they also got the run of playing like Boston or Chicago twice and the Suns once and all those garbage teams.
Like Toronto and Indiana, Celtics, 90, good players. Even with Baines out, they've got Daniel Theis, who I really like as a backup center. And Daniel Theis might be their worst of the nine, which is very I'm not a big Terry Rozier guy, but Rozier is probably better than Daniel Theis. So the depth advantage is gone. You just have to hope you have the firepower to keep up with Boston. And, well, maybe Boston hopes they have the firepower to keep up with Indiana this year. But, yeah, it should be a really good game.
Yeah, I guess I want Kyrie to play for another Oladipo-Kyrie battle.
Me too. They're so fun.
Oladipo won the last one.
I might write about Kyrie versus Oladipo, honestly.
Oh, well, you should read my old stuff about it then.
No, like they're head-to-head matchups, not like who's better.
I think I wrote about that last year.
Oh, you did?
This year.
Good. I'll just copy-paste it and cite my source so I don't get plagiarized. And then I'll add an addendum of the one game this year.
I was the first one to start calling, well, at least on this podcast, not the first one, but first on this podcast to be advocating Oladipo was better than Kyrie.
You were, and you're still, I'm still not going to do that, ever.
I think he's won more of the matchups. I think when I wrote it down.
Yes. And if we're not counting head-to-head wins, then what are we doing? Yeah, I know.
Well, no, but if we're counting like games, so each of them missed a game they played last year.
Yep.
And then in the ones they played, Kyrie played better once and Oladipo played better once. And then this year, Oladipo beat him in the one game they played together.
Yep.
So 2-1 is the score right now.
You're right.
And if Billy doesn't throw that ball away, it would be 3-0.
Meanwhile, they got to that point where he threw it away because Kyrie went crazy in the last 30 seconds.
I think I did the podcast on the anniversary of that game, and I just started – I spent the first 5 minutes just ranting about how
– I'm having fun seeing the anniversaries right now where I like – because we switched to Megaphone about a year ago, so I type in like the title, and it autofills with the old title from that date.
Nice. I didn't mean that.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyrie's my butcher if he plays. If not, I will take Al Horford because he does a little bit of everything and does it all very well.
Yeah, I might take Rozier if he ends up starting.
Wow. I am the lowest Scary Terry fan in the world.
Well, so the last two games with Al Kyrie, he's not putting great stats, but one of the games with Minnesota, he put up 16-5-5, which I thought was impressive. Well, 16-5 steals and 5 assists.
What if I told you he's shooting the same percentage as Tyreke Evans this season?
That wouldn't surprise me. He's not having a great year. He hates his role. He hates where he's at on the team.
Yeah, I just don't think he's that good.
I think he's the perfect bad team good stats guy.
Yes.
Like if you put him on a team where he could take 15 shots, he'd probably put up.
The ideal thing for Terry Rozier would be like the Hawks starting point guard, and they could make him play really good, and then they trade him.
Well, the ideal spot was the Suns. I mean, the Suns was like destiny, where he could like
that is true.
Where he could take a ton of shots and just have Aiden clean him up for him half the time, and it would be great for him.
That would be what he should do. He has low turnovers, which is good. That is the only thing
you can't rate how good he was in the playoffs last year, though.
So he was very good in the playoffs.
He might have value. I mean, I would say the Pacers, they have it now.
You know who else was really good in the playoffs at one point? Bismack Biyombo.
Is he on the Knicks? Is that why we're doing this?
No, Bismack Biyombo was really good on the Raptors in that one playoffs and then got $16 million. It turns out he wasn't that good.
Yeah, but he he doesn't fit in the NBA. He can't shoot the ball.
No, but I mean, defensive centers have a place. He's just not good and was really good.
Yeah, but like you got Rozier at like $10 million a year for 3 years. I wouldn't be like that. Would be the worst.
I'd be so disappointed.
I'd be a little bit overpaid, but it's not the end of the world.
I'd be devastated.
I don't know.
He's a defensive player. He's okay. That's a lot of money.
He took out your favorite boy, Eric Bledsoe.
He did. He was way better than Bledsoe. I know. Yeah, I have no rebuttal. He was better.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, he makes that whole series made me think Bledsoe is not that great.
Honestly, okay. I was about to do a game prediction, but we haven't done X Factors, and I just stumbled over my words a bunch of times.
Oladipo was the X Factor.
Yeah, Oladipo was the X Factor. Done. Check. That was easy. If this game was not on a back to back, I'd probably pick the Pacers to win, but guess what? It's on a back to back. So Celtics win.
Okay, but aren't they 5-1 and second back to back this year?
Yes, someone is writing about that for 8.9 seconds. Get ready.
So I don't know if that actually matters. They do bring it for big games. I mean, I know they lost to the Raptors on the second night, but they were in it the entire time. Is this game on national TV?
Probably.
No, it is not. Their Friday game is, which we'll talk about in a minute, but this one is not.
It's not. No way.
Yeah, they're putting the Knicks them on national TV again, but they're not putting this game.
I did not know that.
They're not respected by the national media. Whatever.
I hate you.
We'll get over it. They aren't. They aren't. It's they. Nobody talks about. Like literally, they had the same record as Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston. If not better than two of those teams, and they aren't talked about in the conversation to win the East. They aren't.
A bunch of people just wrote and talked about them. Like
Well, that SI, you know, little token piece was not the best thing on earth.
I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about.
There's an SI piece about the Pacers this year that was like 450, 500 words that like
I didn't even read that.
It was garbage. I mean, it was something about they talk about Tyreek playing well, and I'm like, they clearly don't watch the games.
I was talking about Matt Moore and Zach Lowe and
I mean, those guys also always talk about them. I'm just saying, like, in you know, the real NBA guys, like the top five national guys, of course, talk about the Pacers, but or talk with them sometimes. But in general, as a media bubble of a whole. Pacers. Like,
I don't understand. Like, people complain they don't get talked about, and then people talk about them, and it's like, shh, let them sleep. I'm like, wait, what do we want them to do here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, I don't really
care. I don't care.
I just want somebody to say, oh, this team is on the same, like to say, you know, when we talk about the best in the East, at least just name the Pacers. They don't just like look over and name the four other teams that are in the East.
Yeah.
I've listened to a lot of shows where they do that.
Talk about the Knicks game.
Yeah, so I think the Pacers actually win this game by 2 points.
The Boston game, really?
I do. I think they win by 2 points.
All right, good. We have a deferral. One of us is going to be wrong. I love it.
I think they own TD Yard for some reason. Oladipo has made that place his second home. You know, you know how T.Y. wore the clown mask in the Houston? Yes. Oladipo's going to do into Boston.
I wish Lockdown Colts had a host so we could have him on to chat about that.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to own Boston from Indiana Sports because the other team can't do it. The other team has literally cannot win in New England. Never has won like one time in the history of their franchise in New England.
Brutal. So. Well, I might have to play there in a game. So let's see what happens. The Knicks, Adam.
Give me their stats.
We talked about the Cavs being bad. The Knicks are only very slightly better.
Game better. Free game better.
Yeah, but they're 23rd in offense and 29th in defense. So how much better are they really?
They're 2.5 games better record-wise.
Yeah, they're actually their expected win loss is better than their record, so that's something. It doesn't help that Porzingis is hurt for a million years, and now Ntilikina and Mitchell Robinson are hurt. So I just and Indy native Courtney Lee might be their second best player, and he never plays. And they benched Dennis Kanter, so it's pretty much like Tim Hardaway and a bunch of development guys.
So. All right, so if you could trade your first round pick, Tyreek Evans. And Kyle Quinn for Tim Hardaway, would you do it?
No.
What about no first round pick? Just Tyreek and Kyle Quinn for Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, 2 seconds. Done.
Okay. Would you do that
today? I don't know, man. That's a lot of money next year for Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah, but your team is the Pacers are kind of set, right? Who's coming? They're talking about free agents, really. I mean, if Butler's locked up, what's the money for?
The B-list dudes are taking a dude in a trade.
Is Tim Hardaway the B-list dude that he won? Anyway?
Tim Hardaway is not a B-list star in the NBA. Oh, come on.
Yeah,
Adam.
Well, I don't know. I get you.
He's shooting under 40% this year.
I'm just saying, like, maybe Tim Hardaway. I mean, you know, you get him. You're basically giving up two guys you don't want anyways, and he's a pretty good NBA player.
I would not want Tim Hardaway on this team.
I
don't like Tim Hardaway. I think he's actually an okay player. He's just a lot of money for a guy that doesn't produce that much.
Yeah, I guess. I think as your third or fourth guy, he'd be pretty good.
Takes him 17 shots to get 20 points a game.
Yeah, but that's because he's playing on one of the worstly constructed NBA teams. Or
he's not good.
No, like, I don't know. If you gave, let's say you took that down to 10 shots and put him on a team where he's not being guarded by everybody, best player.
Well, he'd be better, but like even on the Hawks when he was on that good team, he wasn't like so good.
He was pretty good, though. I mean,
people laughed at that contract the second he signed it because he wasn't that. He was like okay on the Hawks.
Yeah, but he's probably worth 12 a year, right?
Maybe 10. I think the Hawks were trying to offer him 4 for $40.
Okay, so yeah, it's he's overpaid a little bit, but the cap's gone up. You know,
I don't want him
for 1 year. I don't know. I would take it for a year and a half. I would definitely think about it. Let's put it that way. For two guys, you definitely don't want. And if you really think like because
they're gonna extend the problem. I can get someone I want for that money in the next summer. That's it, and that's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, because they're going to extend Sabonis probably the same deal as Turner, if I had to guess, next summer.
Yep, I think so, too.
Yeah, I suppose it's smart to ask for more and maybe get it.
So I don't know what the deal with Ennis Kanter is. He got benched, but I don't know why. I know why he got benched, but I don't know what he's doing now, if he's, like, not playing at all or if he's just coming in as a as a second unit guy, but he's not playing as much now. And he was like the only effective player I felt like these teams played before. So if they don't have him or Mitchell Robinson playing center, I don't have any clue what this team does in their center rotation.
They played him twice now, right?
Yes.
So the first time was pretty cool. It took an Oladipo.
Neither of them were like crazy far apart.
The second one, they kind of started to run away with it, right?
They won by 11, remember?
Yeah, but it wasn't the first one. That took like a fourth quarter kind of comeback, really.
Oh, yeah. Vic was crazy in the clutch, remember? And then Thad had that crazy save.
Yeah, and Sabonis couldn't miss for.
Yeah, the first time the Knicks just hung around, or the second time the Knicks just hung around, and then they put him away at the end. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the Knicks are very good.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about the Knicks.
I agree with you. I think the Knicks are one of the, five worst teams in the league? I mean, they really want Zion Williamson to either trade Ray Anthony Davis or to Cavs.
Yeah, everybody. I want Zion.
Well, you think coming to Indiana, I'll tell you that right now.
No, he is not.
Barring some 30-game losing streak and then a weird lottery ball falling their way.
So last time these two teams played, Miles Turner took 19 shots, and Oladipo only took 13 shots, and they won. And maybe they will try to have another balanced attack the next time they play.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
The Knicks' defense is not very good, so you can kind of get everybody involved. And
but the Knicks playing zone with them last game, remember right?
They did play a little zone the last time. That is correct.
Yeah, we should talk about that at some point, how teams are starting to play a little zone against Pacers working, weirdly.
It is. Also, the Knicks will be returning from a Western road trip before this, so they might be a little tired.
Yeah, I think they're just not a good NBA team. I don't think it matters whether they're playing four games in a row back-to-backs, they would probably still lose.
Yeah, they're not very good. Yeah, I think the only guy who even can be considered for Butcher is the guy I just dumped on a minute ago, Tim Hardaway Jr.
What would you trade for Tim Hardaway from the Pacers?
What would I want? I would have to take an asset to have Tim Hardaway.
Interesting.
You'd have to give me something to have Tim Hardaway.
So, like, no Vonleh and Tim Hardaway?
Just, like, what are you going to have Tim Hardaway do if he's on Indiana? Tyreke Evans roll, like, 16 minutes a game?
Well, he's insurance.
That's a lot of money.
I guess he's insurance if Bojan leaves.
That's a lot of money for – no way I'm playing him as starter. No way.
Well, if Bojan leaves, he can start.
Tim Hardaway and Vic on the court together would be horrible.
I don't know. He's your bench unit guy.
Yeah, maybe. That would not.
I don't know. I feel like he's a good rotation player that you could just have.
He is really good if he's willing to be the fifth option, and I have not seen that from him.
What if he's the first guy off your bench?
Yeah, that would be that would put him what he's doing right now, where he's shooting.
What about him and Sabonis together?
I have no evidence that he's a good pick and roll player. Do I?
I don't know. Sabonis is a good player with anybody.
That is true. We have seen that. That is accurate.
Sabonis made Lance Stevenson look good for a few games last year.
That is true. Put him in the All-Star game just for that.
Oh, okay. Let's go there. Do you think Sabonis should be an All-Star?
I do. I really do.
Over Turner?
Yeah, absolutely. He's been better.
Okay. I agree. I agree with that. I think both are deserving.
I don't think either will get it.
So what's the All-Star team in the East like? Do you have a list?
I know. I need to. I wish I had.
All right. So it's the starting lineup is Kawhi at small forward, Giannis, Embiid. I don't know. I'm a map. Kyrie, it's four.
Kyrie's a starter there. Kemba's probably going to end up being the fifth starter, if I had to guess.
Okay. So you got Kemba, Kyrie as your guards.
Kawhi. I only picked Kemba over Vic there because Kemba's played more games.
Kawhi, Giannis as your forwards, and Embiid as your center.
Yep.
And then you got off the bench, you got Oladipo, Horford. Who else? Yes. Who else is making this?
I'm trying to do one of those index lookups on B-ball ref for Eastern Conference players. I'm doing a terrible job.
So Blake Griffin might be. He's like average 25. Blake
Griffin will definitely be.
So that's eight guys.
100%.
Who else are we missing from the East? The best teams. You're missing Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler, so that's 10.
Why can I not find anything about conference here?
And Chris Middleton, that's 11.
Yeah, we're not getting them in. Pascal Siakam's right there. Do we have Kawhi? Do we have Lowry? Do we have Kawhi?
Yeah, I put Lowry in.
Get
Kawhi in starting lineup.
You have Simmons in there?
Yep.
You have Jimmy Butler in there?
Yep.
Have you been typing these all down so I know you have them all?
Oh my god, you're making me now I gotta restart. This is terrible content.
You blew it. No, this is all your fault.
All right, I'm doing it real fast. I'm just doing it.
Okay, you ready?
All right, I got Irving and Walker's the guard, Leonard and Giannis is the forward, and Embiid is the center. That's your starting center.
Five. All right, awesome.
And you got Oladipo, Lowry, Simmons, Butler. Horford and Griffin.
Steve Simmons. Did you just say Simmons?
I'm 11 without Siakam.
Okay. Siakam. So, yeah. The guys you'd still have that aren't on there would be Siakam and Vucevic, probably.
Vucevic.
They'd be the right there guys.
So then you got
unless we're missing someone obvious.
The bonus. No, because Hayward's on an all-star this year. He'd be the one obvious one. Because there's nobody on the Sixers. Oh, Middleton.
That's the other Middleton. One. Yeah, that he's not gonna get it. He's right there. He's like in the top 20, but he's not in the top 12.
So the only way they would probably get Sabonis or Turner is if they could have won tonight against this.
Yeah,
the Raptors and
sneakily, like Sabonis was not very good today. So
yeah, if they were the one seed, they might have had a shot.
Right. You are correct.
Man, why don't 15 guys get on the All-Star team?
It's a good point.
Well, because
here's
how Sabonis gets on the All-Star team. So you're looking at an injury to Griffin, which is not out of the question. Maybe an injury to Horford as well. So that gets you. Yeah, that's two open more spots. So that gives
you. I don't want to root for any of this.
Not like long, but like just like minor, where they just don't play in the game injuries.
This exercise is not fun anymore.
Leonard probably not playing in the All-Star game either.
Yeah, yikes.
So there's three spots, and then you give it to Siakam, Vucevic, and Sabonis. There it is.
I think Vuce is over Siakam. Vuce has been amazing.
Whatever. I mean, Siakam gets in only because it's the best record. That's why I would pick Siakam.
Yeah.
The third best player on the best team in the East.
Yeah, he's been really good.
But then it seems odd that you wouldn't put Middleton in. You'd put three guys on the Sixers and not two guys on the Bucks with a better record.
Simmons
is sure? A
sneaky, interesting case. I knew you were about to say that.
Yes, are we sure both Simmons would get on the All-Star team?
Simmons is probably number 11 if you have to do that.
Do Butler stats with – I mean, I feel like Butler stats with Minnesota, do those count against him or something?
I don't know how that works.
So that whole situation kind of gets him because he wasn't really an All-Star for those –
Well, remember Blake got traded before the All-Star game last year, but after the selection, right? Because he would have for sure made it in the East if he got traded before the selection was done.
Yeah, he would have for sure.
But he didn't.
I don't know how that works for Jimmy Butler.
I don't either.
Well, this is how important the Knicks game is. They're going to beat the Knicks by 20.
I agree.
But we should all vote for Sabonis for All-Star game, even though we're a small fan base in Indiana. We're loud and we can be annoying.
I would be very happy if he made it.
We should try to get Oladipo in the starting lineup.
Yes.
How about Oladipo maybe over Irving?
You'd have Oladipo over Irving.
I don't know. Better team.
Yes. That's
about to go 2-0 Mets.
I paused for a dramatically long time on that, but I agree.
About to go 2-0 on the season against
them. Right. We just said that. Look at us talking not about the Knicks at all.
The Knicks suck.
The Knicks suck and are very boring, especially because their best players are A, bad, and B, not going to play.
Let me do a little look at that Pacers just like future schedule real fast. Like, who do they have like a bunch any good weeks coming up, or they play like three good teams? Like that Milwaukee Philly week was really good for us.
They do. They got Philly. They got Luka Doncic coming up. They got Philly coming up. They got Kemba coming up. Fun. All fun stuff coming up.
So they got a Phoenix, Philly, Dallas, after Charlotte
the,
week.
At the Knicks, we got Devin Booker, Philly, Luka Doncic, Kemba, Raptors. That's fun.
Ooh, and then they got a week of Raptors, Memphis, only two games. Then a Golden State, Washington, Orlando week. Oh, yeah, it's going to be – yeah, I mean, they haven't played New Orleans yet at all.
Or Golden State. Knicks, by the way, so we can close out that discussion.
I think I said that already.
I didn't.
Pacers on ESPN, just so everybody knows.
Go. Let's go. Live TV so everyone can see how good they are when they struggle to beat the Knicks.
We'll probably get what? Hubie Dark. Brown and – oh, what's the other guy? Is it – It's what's the guy who does the broadcast? Hubie Brown and
no, give me Bill Walton.
Please. No, but isn't you? No, the next game is usually they do. No, because Mike Breen does the team broadcast, so it's usually Hubie Brown and who's the guy? It's Ryan something. Ryan Rucco.
You're right. Good job.
I don't know if I like that broadcast. There you go, Adam. Do you like that broadcast? You don't watch anyways. You watch the team cast, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, I don't like the play-by-play on ESPN. It's kind of annoying. That one, at least. The normal one is fun. The Mike Breen.
Yeah, I'm not a big national TV announcers guy.
Well, the Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson one is fine.
Yeah, they're better. They have more team experience. This is the wrap. This is the back and forth you miss when Animals on Vacation.
Yes, this is the back and forth you miss. And really, it's been kind of a slow year, so now this is the motivation. This is the out of drinking a cup of coffee before to the podcast. Kind of. And it kicked it about right now, so it's kind of going.
Nailed it. Home run.
Nailed the timing on the caffeine kick.
That's all. I don't need that. I need to go to bed soon.
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock on the East Coast currently.
I know, and I have to clean my kitchen.
Oh, yeah, because Tony
had a head. The people demand me cleaning my kitchen.
Because Tony had lots of friends over this weekend.
Yes, I sure did.
Any more basketball talk? Anything else basketball-wise you want to hit on before we wrap this hour-long podcast up?
Not really. No. I talked for 45 minutes straight on a mailbag last week, so my mouth.
I know. I was thinking we should do a mailbag this when I came back, but obviously you stole it from me.
I had 3 days of scrambling for content. Thank God Nate won Coach of the Week, so I had something to talk about.
You probably could have
done. You know, I suck at just thinking up content.
You had like 5 guests last week, didn't you? You have a guest a couple times.
I only had one.
Oh well, it's New Year's week.
Yeah,
I don't know. Aaron Holiday hasn't played a lot. This is kind of frustrating.
I agree.
Man, he could be a good NBA player. Gave him a shot, but that's all Jesse I can say Smith on that. I don't know.
Tweeted that Jesse Smith, a writer for 8.10 seconds, just tweeted that he's the second best guard on the team. I don't agree at all, but you know what? That's where we're at with Holiday.
So Kojo won him too?
I guess.
Right, guard. Does he mean he means point guard? No,
he means
right?
Vic one. He means Vic one. I think.
Does he mean guard or mean point guard?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm not in his head. I didn't text him about it. It was real recording.
All right. Well, tell him it's on the podcast that we think if he means on the team total, I don't know. Kodo's playing pretty good this year, I thought.
Yeah.
He's not been a high scorer, but he's been very efficient.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Carlson's playing better as of late, so there's also that. Carlson is up to like I think almost 3.5 on his turnover ratio.
It's pretty good.
38% from three. So maybe we kind of wrote him off too early, or maybe I did.
Ha! We all did.
We wrote that. Okay. The last thing I gotta say is the amount of tip-in garbage shots that gets has just been ridiculous.
Good for him.
Have you seen these shots where he like just throws his hands between four guys, hits it straight up in there, and it goes in? Like,
did you see my tweet in from last game? I swear he can't see the rim on some of his shots.
Like I first noticed that when I was like kind of when he's having his little run there, like 10 games where he's playing really well. And I was like looking at why he's doing so well. Like his tipping is like ridiculous. Like the amount of times he's able to just get his hand on the ball and like volleyball the shot in. Like I don't know how that is possible. I don't know if you practice that shot, if it just happens. Like I would love to have like a conversation. Does he like just try that in practice? Like, does he like go to the gym and just throw balls up in the air and tap them in constantly, not looking at the rim? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he must. He has little kids who miss a lot, and then he cleans up their mess.
Yeah, you feel like he's playing. Maybe it's too something like pulling his arms down. He like, yeah. Just, like smack it in or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
I like the theory we have going now.
I don't know. It's just crazy. Good. I just can't – like the amount of – like I just can't believe those go in. Like he had a couple today against the Raptors where like – he's just like there's three Raptors. He's in the middle of them, and he just puts his hand up and knocks it up straight up there, and it goes in.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know how he does it.
No, he should teach a clinic on it. To be honest, he has to be the best in traffic tip in shooter.
He must be the most underrated player in the entire NBA.
That's not true, but he's the most. He has to be the best tip in player.
I say it all the time, man.
He has to be the best tip in player in the league right now.
I would not dispute you on that.
He's been good. All right, I'm out of stuff. I'm good on content.
All right, I'm good too.
What are you writing this week?
Signing Patrick McCaw, because I'm all for it.
All right. I think the Bears should trade for Tim Hardaway at some point. We got to do a free agency puck at some point, right? Trade deadline's what, 5 weeks away now?
Pretty much every question I had on the mailbag was about free agency.
We're 5 weeks away, right?
All
right, actually, I got this. Should we start a weekly segment on the show where we talk about crazy for 5 minutes?
Weekly,
Tony's going to vote no, but if the fans, if you tweeted us that we should do it, we'll do it. Because Tony, listen to you guys. So
am I boring?
You're not boring. I think we should do. I think that's
what I don't the like speculating on free agency. We've been going for like an hour, man.
I know. We should wrapping this up, Tony. It's finishing up. I'm almost done. And I had this thought before the podcast, and so I wanted to tell you it. We should do that because it would make our fans happy.
I was gonna say you're missing a word here.
It would make our fans happy. it would make our listeners.
That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about.
It may a little bit. I think 5 to 10 minute phrase. Maybe we take one question every podcast on it, whatever every Monday show or whatever weekly show. Just a thought. Tweet us if you think it's a good idea. Tweet at us at Locked On Page. That's a good idea. Tweet at Tony East all of your free agency questions. Just flood it. Flood his mentions feed with Tony at T East NBA. Just flood those with everything possible about free agency. And you can tweet at me if you're Madam Five, whatever you questions wise. That is all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll be back probably on Tuesday for the rest of the week. Look forward to the Knicks, Boston, and Cavs games. That's all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. Have a great rest of your day.